Welcome. The Bundesliga season is on the final stretch with only three games left. Borussia Dortmund solidified their place in the top four after a convincing win over Leverkusen. Where has this Dortmund been all season? Cologne has all but secured their trip to the second division after drawing with Schalke. Do they have what it takes to pop straight back up? And we discuss the rest of the relegation race and whether Hamburg can have another miracle comeback. This is Tribuna Weekly. Dejus van Optorp here with Matt Ford. Matt, take us to the match day.
German Federal League Division 1, match day 31. Club for Physical Exercise Borussia Mönchengladbach 3. Club for Physical Exercise Wolfsburg Football 0. Sports Community Frankfurt United 0. Hertha Berlin Sport Club 3. Club for Agility Games Stuttgart 2. Sport Club Werder Bremen 0. Hanoverian Sport Club of 1896 0. Football Club Bavaria Munich 3. Lawn Ball Sport Leipzig 2. Gymnastics and Sport Society 1899 Hoffenheim 5. Hamburger Sport Club 1. Sport Club Freiburg 0. Ball Games Club Prussia 09 Dortmund 4. Bayer 04 Leverkusen Football 0. Football Club Augsburg 2. The First Football Club of Mainz 05 0. The First Football Club of Cologne 2. Football Club Schalke 04 2.
So Borussia Dortmund may have lost the derby, but you would have never guessed it because by the way that they played against Bayer Leverkusen, another team that they're challenging the top four place for, because they beat them 4-0, and it was definitely a display that we hadn't seen under Peter Stürger in a very, very long time, to say the least, if at all. Matt, you watched this game pretty closely. So what were your first impressions besides the English hot take angle, which is Jadon Sancho is the best international, basically the best English player on the continent.
Yeah, we'll get on to Jadon Sancho in a bit, I imagine. But first impression summed up, I think, pretty quite well by a headlining kicker in front of me who just says in big letters, "Why can't you always play like this?" And that's, I think, probably the question on the lips of most Borussia Dortmund fans, because the contrast between the Leverkusen game and the Schalke game last week was absolutely out of this world. There's absolutely zero parallels between the two, except that they lined up in yellow shirts both times. It was like watching two completely different teams. Everything that was missing last week against Schalke was there in abundance against Leverkusen. Suddenly, the aimless and endless sideways passes had turned into accurate, penetrative, well-aimed, well-timed balls forward. The players who looked scared on the ball and terrified to make a mistake were suddenly running at defenders and taking players on. Whereas I don't think Dortmund barely recorded the shot on goal in the first half against Schalke, that might have been a Royce free kick or something. Suddenly there were shots flying in from everywhere, from Royce, from Pulisic, from Sancho. And this was, of course, without the injured Michy Batshuayi. There's clearly talent in that team. We all know it. And they showed it in abundance yesterday. It really was a proper return to form from Borussia Dortmund, and encouraging to see.
Well, let's go. You mentioned how direct they were, basically going much more vertical than horizontal. And I think, I mean, it's hard to ignore that one of the reasons why that was the case was because Jadon Sancho was in the lineup on the left. How much of a difference do you think he individually made to Dortmund, and basically did he highlight the deficiencies that Dortmund had had previously before this game?
Perhaps, although it's not like there's been players who haven't been playing in his position, or sometimes it's been him himself, in previous games. He was part of absolutely everything that Dortmund did well. He was out on the left, and he hugged that left touchline. He barely left it, constantly stretching the Leverkusen defence and providing that option. I think, first of all, it was Mario Götze that found him, and just a minute before he actually scored his goal, he had a chance. Yeah, Götze played him in, and he took his shot a bit too soon, snatched at it, but then just a minute later, Pulisic played him in. Similar situation, similar position, made no mistake that time. But the gaps were there because he so rigidly stuck to his position on that left-hand side, and for me, that's what created the gaps in the Leverkusen defence. the moment of the game, if you do get a chance to see it, pull up the highlights. Part of Sancho's setup for Maximilian Philipp's goal when he controls the ball. Again, that was on the left. And Manuel Akanji, who's also playing in a bit of an unorthodox left back role for him, played an absolutely fantastic ball into him. And in one single fluid movement, Sancho brings the ball down behind him on his heel. And then one movement plays a pass into Philip. Absolutely exquisite control. And it sums up his game. He was absolutely brilliant.
His talent is definitely, you can see it. I mean, even before this game, it was clear that it was there. It was just...
Yeah, he'd already had a couple of assists, I think. And he'd had a bad start.
Right, exactly. And I think it's just the mental side of the game that he's needed to work on. And it seemed to be more there. Of course, I think there was a lot of players around him that could helped him with that situation. But I think, I mean, it's his raw athleticism and his skill on the ball is definitely palpable.
It's very similar to what we've seen in Christian Pulisic down the years, and I'd be very, very unwilling to start talking about any potential deficiencies that Jadon Sancho might have, mental, experience-wise, whatever.
He just turned 18.
He's just scored his first professional goal. If there have been any problems at all, they've not been his. They've been Borussia Dortmund's, and we've discussed those a million times this season. We all know what they are, and they range from the coach to individual players to psychological effects of the bus attack and all sorts of things going on. Jadon Sancho, I take absolutely nothing away from him. I thought it was interesting. John and I were discussing a comment that popped up on social media over the weekend, which was, I thought, quite cynical and quite unfair. I can't remember word for word, but along the lines of, oh yeah, well, all well and good, but he could have had a Premier League winners' medal if he'd have stayed in Manchester. And
would he still get it? Because he didn't join Dortmund until the end of the transfer window.
Well, the actual specifications regarding the distribution of winners' medals aside, I don't know what they are at the moment. I just think it misses the point somewhat. Would he have even got the games? Probably not, because the reason he went up and asked Pep Guardiola for a move was because he simply wasn't getting games. I think it's absolutely huge courage for a player like that to approach a manager like that and basically give him an ultimatum and say, are you going to play me or are you not? Because if not, I'm going to leave. Yeah, it would have been the easiest thing in the world for him to sit around, maybe hope he racks up enough numbers of substitute appearances in a superstar Manchester City 11 and then get a Premier League winners medal at the end of it. But how much would it have been worth? The kid's 18, he's now just scored his first professional goal in professional football in the biggest club stadium in Europe, in front of the yellow wall. The medals will come.
He's 18, and if he plays anything like he did against Leverkusen, I mean, the medals will definitely be there. Maybe even at the national team level. Maybe, of course, not. Or maybe not some of the bigger. But this is a type of talent that England has wanted to see for a long time. One interesting selection too that I think a lot of people picked up on was the fact that, as you mentioned, Akanji was playing in the left back position and not Marcel Schmelzer. Schmelzer wasn't even in the squad. He was sitting in the stands watching this game unfold in front of him. And it's really interesting because I think Akanji did rather well. I mean, we saw also Dan Axel Zagadou play that position earlier in the season. What did you think, how Dortmund looked defensively? Because this is the first time they've also not conceded any goals in a few games as well. What did you think of Dortmund defensively with Akanji playing that left-back position?
I thought Akanji was okay. It was the first time I'd seen him play left-back, but he's certainly not been the worst defensive culprit at centre-back either for Borussia Dortmund this year. Although I do think yesterday that it was a case of attack was the best form of defence for Dortmund, that they were so incredibly aggressive and offensive that Bayer Leverkusen, let's not forget, this is a Bayer Leverkusen team who have blown teams out of the water this season. They have some of the most potent attacking talent in Julian Brandt and Leon Bailey, both of whom were absolutely anonymous against Dortmund, but that's all credit to Borussia Dortmund and the way they approached the game. Akanji, thought it was fine. I thought it was impressive that they were that stable. But again, I think it was a case of, yeah, attack, best form of defence at the weekend for Dortmund.
Well, the other thing too, I mean, it was announced, Dortmund announced today that Sebastian Kehl is taking over is head of the player, basically the player department, correct? Is that his position?
Yeah, however you want to translate it.
Yeah, I'm sorry for not giving the precise position, but you just never know with some of the way that these clubs are structured. But
Leiter Lizenzspielerabteilung.
Yeah, and one of the things is, and even though Marcel Schmelzer is the captain, I mean, his place in the side may not be as secure as maybe many think it is.
It's been an interesting one with Marcel Schmelzer. Obviously, a very loyal figure. I think originally from Magdeburg, but he's been, 13, 14 years in Dortmund now. So from that point of view, he's very respected. He's club captain. However, this season, his performances really haven't been up to scratch. He's been the subject of probably most criticism, or more criticism than most, from a lot of the supporters. And yet, on the other hand, he's also been one of the biggest outspoken critics of his own teammates and himself. In the dressing room, and so is the way, you know, if you're going to come out as captain and criticise your own and your teammates' performances, then you have to at least be delivering yourself. And he's not been. And it came out that obviously he wasn't just dropped; he was completely dropped from the entire squad at the weekend. And yeah, the sporting director Michael Zork said that, I think, quote, he's not in the right frame of mind, and we don't believe he can help us today.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I don't want to base this all on one selection, but I'm curious it makes me wonder. How much longer he will carry that captain's armband? Because, as we mentioned last week, he kind of had a guaranteed spot in the side, maybe because he was the captain, and I mean, his performances haven't definitely warranted his place there. So could you have Sebastian Kehl, ironically, who was at the end of his Dortmund career, wasn't playing regularly in the first team, but still is club captain? Or do you need to give somebody else the captain's armband to make sure you still have that presence on the field? Now, of course, if Schmelzer is not starting more consistently, someone else is going to be wearing the captain's armband anyways. But I'm just curious if any thoughts like that have run through your mind.
I know what you mean, but I think at the moment it seems difficult to see any sort of position like that emerging for Marcel Schmelzer. Because there have been reports in the press this morning that, as we said, his omission from the squad wasn't purely a sporting decision. There have been personal issues, whether between him and Stöger or between him and Zork. Can't go into any more detail on that because we simply don't know. But the reports do suggest that this is more than just a result of his insufficient sporting performances, but yeah, there also seem to be personal issues going on there.
All right, well, let's move on to the first team that has almost assuredly secured their relegation to the second division, and that is Cologne. They drew 2-2 with Schalke. They needed to win that game in order to have a chance to remain in contention. They are still mathematically in contention, but there's 8 points between them and Wolfsburg and Freiburg and Mainz, which means that they need to win all of their games, and consequently Wolfsburg, Freiburg, and Mainz would need to lose all of their games in order for Cologne, who has, I believe, the worst goal difference in the first division, in order for them to supplant those three. So they're pretty much as good as relegated. But their performance over the weekend was admirable against record-wise the second best team in Germany, which is Schalke. They trailed 2-0, and they were able to at least get a point out of the result at home. But still, it was not enough for them to stay up. As someone, Matt, who has talked with Cologne fans throughout the season, what were your impressions from this result over the weekend?
It was a very sad day for all concerned, really. I think everyone in Cologne has recognised that, you know, the relegation was pretty much inevitable, although there were the odd little bits of hope which were restored. But definitely a sad day. Lots of players and fans with tears in their eyes, as were actually in Berlin last week. I was at the Hertha Berlin Cologne game, and there was an interesting contrast actually. At the end of the game in Berlin, the players came over to the away end and threw their shirts into the crowd, and some of them were thrown straight back. The fans were that fed up of the performance and said, "No, we don't want your shirts." Jonas Hector, we'll get onto him in a sec, was one who was almost in tears last week. This week
was consoling someone in tears in Leonardo Bittencourt.
But the reaction couldn't have been any different. The players approached the fans at the end of the game, and they were applauded. They were applauded and cheered, and celebrated off the pitch. I believe Timo Horn said in tears in an interview with Sky, he said, "It's absolutely incredible. I've been relegated with this team. I'm a member of a team that's being relegated, and yet I go to the fans and they're all cheering me." Incredible, really. And I think there's a bit of a recognition that, unlike the last time Cologne went down, when basically the ultras effectively tore the stadium apart on the final day against Bayern Munich, this time there seems to be a recognition that this relegation is unnecessary. Cologne are on their day not the worst team in the Bundesliga, and we'll get onto this in the relegation discussion in a bit. There are teams above them who are much, much, much worse. However, various circumstances have collided, I think, whether it was Jorgup, whether it was injuries, whether it was Sturger, whether it was Schmacker, have combined, and it's not worked out. But I think they'll come back all the stronger.
Well, it's interesting because they were obviously a team that didn't get their first win until match day 17. The fact that they were able to even give themselves a chance to still be mathematically relevant on match day 31 is rather admirable.
That's what Stefan Rosenbeck said afterwards. He said, "Yeah, obviously 3 wins from 3 games now is going to be a big ask." But when he took over in December, everyone said, "Oh, no chance, already down, relegated." And yet he said after the Schalke game, "Look, we're still here. We're still technically, mathematically not relegated." And he said he thought the players deserved some more credit for that. And perhaps he's right. However, the problem is that the players have shown that they're capable of delivering results. They came back from 2-0 down to draw 2-2 with Schalke. They've shown they are capable, but they've... On all too few occasions have they demonstrated that they can do that over the course of 90 minutes.
Yeah, from what I saw of the game, there is definitely a little bit of a gulf in class with some of the players in Schalke's squad. You could see by watching the game why Schalke were in second place and why Cologne were in 18th. But you even have to look at some of Breland Bolo just blowing by Dominic Heinz. I mean, maybe last year that wouldn't have been the case. The way that
was watching Marcel Vista trying to stop Yevhen Konoplyanka.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, yeah, Yevhen Konoplyanka, a player who does have European experience, but didn't even have that much. Didn't really have any way to impact Schalke's team over the past season. I mean, it's not until recently that he's starting to once again make a name for himself, but it's still, you could still see that gulf in class, and maybe it's just maybe that gulf in class was there, and they overachieved last season to the point where we believed that there was no chance of them relegating, and where they even fooled their own sporting director into thinking that they were actually European contenders. It definitely has. If you're a Cologne fan, I think you still have to be encouraged with the way that Cologne, even in the face of complete despair, were able to make something out of it and still be mathematically relevant going into the final 3 match days.
They have, yeah, and I think as we discussed over the weekend as well, there are signs for Cologne to which are positive. I think they've taken the right steps. I wrote a piece over the weekend saying that I think they have the right tools there. They've acted early enough when they recognised that everything wasn't going quite to plan. Jörg Schmacker was ejected quickly. Sturger quickly followed. Rutenbeck was brought in, but was clear right from the start that this is only a temporary measure. Armin Fee, more importantly, was brought in with the task of, regardless what league, first or second, this is going to start the rebuild. They were quickly in contact with Marcus Anfang at Kiel, and now that's been confirmed that he'll be taking over. So Cologne have acted quickly, and they acted months ago, knowing that this was coming. They've also moved to tie down certain players, and obviously the big surprise news today is the biggest one of all, Jonas Hector, German national, has said that he's going to stay. And I wrote in my piece yesterday that I can see players staying because, unlike in a lot of Bundesliga teams, there does genuinely seem to be a connection. There are players in that Cologne squad, whether they're local or not, and there are 7 or 8 locals as well, which does play a role. But even players who aren't from Cologne, the players who have really bought into it, Hector being one of them, and they do buy into the city. They do buy into the environment and the way that the football club is so intrinsically linked to the city. And even people who don't like football in Cologne still ask how Hennes is getting on. Yeah. The whole thing is mixed together, and players do buy into it. And I think, we've seen the perfect evidence of this now, the fact that Jonas Hector, who's had interest from Bayern Munich and who allegedly a contract was there ready for him in Dortmund, just waiting to be signed, has said, no, I owe this club. He owes them to stay and help them get back up. It may turn out to be the same with Timo Horn, which would be another huge kick.
Yeah, that's the one that I saw in German reports today, that Timo Horn, who has interest. There are a lot of places in Germany that he could go, but he has also had interest outside of Germany as well. But there are reports that he might stay as well. Remember, both of them extended their contracts until 2021 around the same time, and now Jonas Hector was the first one of the two to add 2 more years to that. So I'd be very curious to see if Timo Horn does the same.
Timo Horn's a local boy. He's grown up as a Cologne fan. He used to stand on the south stand there, and I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed. Saw him in tears at the end of the game against Schalke. It does mean a lot to him. That is unique and shouldn't be underestimated, and certainly should not be taken for granted, especially today in a world where we too often, and probably with some justification, accuse players of being mercenaries and not really caring, or just moving to wherever the pay packet is bigger, or not really thinking about the team or getting involved in with the fans or the city where they've moved to. They're just there to further the stepping stone on their own career. It can be justified to an extent, but when you see players like these Cologne lads who genuinely seem committed to making amends, I think it's quite refreshing, and it's a little silver lining in what has been one dark cloud of a season for Cologne.
Well, their squad will have a little bit of a refresh, I think. I think part of their plans in rebuilding will be to they'll have to let some players go.
Yeah, they won't all stay.
They won't all stay. But I'm curious what you think. We can do a little bit of speculating now that they're pretty much 99% going down. What players do you see that you think that are good enough to stay in the Bundesliga? I think it would be nice for us to name 3 that we think that could stay.
Certainly, Leonardo Bittencourt and Yuya Osako.
Yeah.
They're the 2 that stand out. Bittencourt's allegedly had interest from Tottenham Hotspur. And people are talking about a price tag.
Yeah, I should say not just the German first division, but first divisions around.
Osako too. I'm personally a huge fan of his. I think he's a great little player. On his game, great touch, very creative. He's got a potent shot on him as well. Danger from goal scoring situations. They're the 2 big names that I'd say are pretty much nailed on to leave.
Do you think that Dominik Heinz would get another chance in the Bundesliga?
I think so. I think there's probably been slightly worse culprits at the back for Cologne this year. Marcel Risser being one, although he's likely to stay.
Fredrik Sorensen too, by the way.
Not had a good season.
I mean, last year he was really good as kind of that third center back on the right, but he's been passable as a right back. But
I could see potential interest in Heinz, but otherwise. Dominic Moreau's been there a while. I'd probably see him rather staying. I think Michael Herger is set probably to stay.
Moreau's out of contract, actually, so we'll see about that.
We'll see how that goes. I was talking about Risser during the game because I thought he was having an absolute nightmare against Konoplyanka on that Schalke left-hand side. and yet he pops up with that absolute thunderbolt of a free kick,
right.
Like he did against, he scored a similar one against Borussia Mönchengladbach last season. So yeah, that's something. But he said after the game that was the saddest goal of his career.
Yeah. Although it moved like basically a knuckleball, it was really cool. Do you think that Cologne? What chances would you give that Cologne are going to come straight back up?
Yeah, fairly high.
I would say probably. I'm not as familiar at in the second division as many. I follow it a little bit, but I think 70% would be somewhat conservative.
Yeah, me too. No, they'd go down as huge favourites. If Hamburg go down two, that'll make it slightly more difficult.
Right.
Then two go up because you've got two teams going down there with absolutely huge financial backing. No one else in the second tier can compete with that. The last time Cologne went down, the club was almost insolvent. This time they go down, the club is anything but insolvent. The club is now a wash in money. It's been spent well. The structures are in place. The money's there for them to go back up. Same applies to Hamburg if they go down. So I really can see them two bouncing straight back up. From a point of view of the teams in the second division, obviously it'll benefit Cologne and Hamburg that Nuremberg and Dusseldorf
are likely
to go straight back up. So that's two massive names out of there straight away. And a lot's been made this season of the second division in Germany being incredible, but I think a couple of weeks ago there were only, what, 4 or 5 points between sixth and the relegation zone.
Yeah.
And bottom club Kaiserslautern could still go up.
Some say that's competitiveness. Yeah, others would say that's mediocrity.
Exactly. Is that competitive or is it just bang out mediocrity? I'd probably go for the latter, as exciting as it's been. Teams last year who were pushing promotion, Union Berlin and Dynamo Dresden for two, have suddenly found themselves in the bottom half this year.
And Braunschweig too.
They're in the bottom half there in the playoff last year. And as for teams coming up, Paderborn have been a complete roller coaster. Magdeburg is a huge and fantastic story. That Magdeburg have made it back up into Division
yeah,
Two.
To, well, the, yeah. So they're Magdeburg, of course, in Division Three at the moment.
Yeah.
But they're in a.
No, they're up.
They're up.
Weekend, they're up. That's confirmed. But again, these are big clubs with big histories and big fan bases, and it's a great story. But absolutely nowhere near football wise in a position to or financially wise to compete with the likes of Cologne or Hamburg if they go down. So yeah, I'm backing them both to come straight back up.
All right, so now let's talk about who may join Cologne in the relegation. Of course, Hamburg are favorites, being 25 points, 5 points behind the three other assumed contenders for the bottom two and the bottom three, if you count the playoff spot. But Hamburg, of course, winning on the weekend, keeping their slim hopes alive, and they still with three matches to go are only 5 points behind Wolfsburg, Freiburg, and Mainz. So, Matt, we've talked about Hamburg at length. So I want to start start at the teams above and look at those three teams. Let's start with Freiburg first, because we saw the Freiburg-Mainz game last week together. We also, I was actually in the stadium for the Freiburg-Hamburg game. I think the statistic is they haven't scored a goal in their last five games now, or scored one goal in the last five games. Someone can correct me on that. I shouldn't be quoting stats that I don't actually know offhand. But they look like in real trouble, because their best player is probably Niels Petersen. And he's not the type of player that can create things by himself. He needs support around them. So what do you make of Freiburg's chances right now, who put themselves in the conversation for relegation?
Not good. Absolutely in free fall. And it's a classic case of when things go against you and absolutely everything goes against you. Injury problems, red cards. They've had Christian Streich absolutely fuming. There was the incredibly controversial handball VAR decision against Mainz last week, where if anyone's not seen it, the players were already halfway down the tunnel when the VAR intervened and said, oh no, in the final move, the final attack of the game, the VAR spotted a handball, which, yeah, it was a correct decision. I think it was definitely a penalty.
But the Freiburg players were already in the dressing room at half time, and there was some fantastic footage, wasn't there, from the tunnel when the Freiburg players noticed and were told to come back out. And one, I don't know who it, you can't tell who it is saying it, but someone said, no, we're not going back out.
But that moment was a huge defining moment for them, because I mean Mainz was obviously one of their relegation rivals now,
as were Hamburg, and it was another place where they would have, if they're going to get out of this, you have to win those games,
right?
And once again, it's Hamburg stepping up to the plate. But yeah, Freiburg, it is part, and like you said, you just don't see where the goal's going to come from. They've never been a big scoring team anyway, but they've always been able to rely on their home form somewhat. And now, well, they've got Cologne at home next week, which you'd imagine they'd fancy themselves to get a result from. But then again, with Cologne now, the players might feel the pressure's off them.
Yeah.
They've got nothing else to lose, so it's gonna be very, very, very tough for them.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what Darmstadt did last season when they were already relegated, even against teams like Borussia Dortmund.
They started playing,
and they started disrupting a lot of team seasons with some of the results that they were getting. So I would definitely not say that for Freiburg, a Cologne is a gimme. So let's move on to maybe Mainz now. Mainz, of course, won that game that we saw last week, but they lost again this week, so they're still in the thick of the relegation fight, and they don't necessarily have, I mean, they have some quality up front, but not a lot, not enough to move the needle, and they've been without their spine for now two seasons, and they haven't replaced and basically replaced some of their leading players. So what do you make of their chances to stay up?
Better than Freiburg's. They obviously got beat against Augsburg at the weekend, but I saw them get a draw in Cologne a few weeks ago. There is talent there, isn't there? Pablo de Blasis has been relatively impressive. Danny Latzer. There's certainly more of a threat in that Mainz team than there is that you see coming from Freiburg. I'm just trying to find out what are their final.
Well, Mainz actually. So I was pulling up their picture. I have their pictures up now. Mainz actually has maybe the toughest road of the three teams that are trying to avoid that 16th relegation spot. I mean, they play Leipzig next week. Although, judging by how Leipzig have played in recent weeks, that might be much. They also get Leipzig at home. That's obviously an advantage. But then they have to go away to Borussia Dortmund, who is going to be trying to secure a top four place. And then they're away to Werder Bremen. They have two games away at home.
They're home to
Werder Bremen.
Even the fixture is not in their favour. I know. Obviously, Red Bull fell apart completely at the weekend against Hoffenheim. But even so, compared to the run-ins that Freiburg, Hamburg and Wolfsburg have, Mainz have a tougher running. And to be honest, looking at it now, you can't actually see them. You can't actually get in a. You can see them losing all three there, can't you?
You could, really. Definitely. But with the way that Leipzig is playing, it definitely could open the door for some of these relegation teams. Since I've stumbled onto Wolfsburg, why don't we talk about them? Because obviously. You have Bruno Labbadia, who has took over a few weeks ago now, and has only, I believe, one victory since he's taken charge of that club. There doesn't seem to be any passion there, which is why Martin Schmidt left in the first place. Borussia Mönchengladbach is not a team at the moment that appears to be winning convincingly, and yet on Friday they won 3-0 against this Wolfsburg team. So. I mean, it really is a case for Hamburg or for any of these teams that you just have to be better than the teams around you rather than being better than your opponent.
It's so desperately poor down the bottom there. There's no other way of putting it. All three of them. And for me, Wolfsburg are the worst of a bad bunch. Yes, Borussia Mönchengladbach were surprisingly impressive on Friday night. Similar to Dortmund, they pulled an attacking performance out of nowhere and were very, very impressive. But it was against the Wolfsburg team where they were completely overwhelmed. Gladbach were good, but not so good that Wolfsburg should have disintegrated in the way they did. The defensive positioning was absolutely shocking. They completely disintegrated in the face of even the slightest pressing from Gladbach. And I think the second goal, I think it was, pretty much summed it up for me. It was just a big long ball up into the Wolfsburg box, and the defender William, they're just completely leaving Hoffmann on his own. But I mean, he's not the biggest player in the world. He's a relatively small winger, and yet he was able to, under no pressure at all, on the edge of the 6 yard box, bring down a long ball, take a touch, turn, shoot. Okay, shot was saved, and Raphael put it in. But it's absolutely appalling defending. Zero communication. John Anthony Brooks had to be dragged off after 25 minutes because he was already on a yellow, because he was just flying into tackles left, right and centre. Yeah, like you said, there seems to be absolutely zero coordination or even a semblance of a team there. Absolutely no indication that Bruno Labbadia has had any effect on the team whatsoever. But bear in mind, this is a man who does have a record for getting teams out of trouble. You know, he quite famously saved Hamburg. And he's not an inexperienced manager, but you just don't see the sign that he's got a through to them at all. Yeah, they've got Cologne on the final day, which at home, which could be a difficult one. But ahead of that, they've got an even bigger one against Hamburg next week, which is turning into an absolutely massive game for both of them.
Well, let me ask you this now, because I mean, Hamburg have two victories now in their last three games, and they appear to maybe this miracle might actually happen for them again, where they finally keep that clock going
They have to win next week.
My question is, do you tip them now based on their form and based on Wolfsburg form? Who do you think is going to be favored in that game?
You can't look past them, can you? And that would leave them 2 points off safety with two games to play. And the Wolfsburg team in absolute freefall and the Hamburg team on the up. Whether it'll actually come to that, you don't know. But we said before this weekend that Hamburg's game against Freiburg was an absolute 100% must win or you're down. And they've done that. So that's part one out of the way. Next week, nothing's changed. Next week is exactly the same again. They have to win. They've got absolutely no choice. They're going to have to go to Wolfsburg and win. I would back them to do it. Lewis Holtby scored, I think, is it 3-3 or 3-4 now? Turned into Hamburg's super striker. I would back them to do it. They've got Christian Titz seems to have implemented more of a plan. There seems to be a way of playing, whether it's via Ito or Kostic via the wings, or via a little bit of a more vertical penetration with Bobby Wood.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I mean, I was at the game, and it was remarkable to see how well they were just even combining. I mean, it's not like combinations you'd see between Thomas Müller and Robert Lewandowski by no measure whatsoever, but it's still, they were able to find the players that were in space, and the players in space were able to take the ball to close to the goal line, and they were able to do something with it.
It's been a risky strategy, but then again, Hamburg had absolutely nothing left to play with.
They didn't have a strategy before.
I'm talking about the strategy that Christian Titz has had of bringing in so many youth team players. Ito, Waldschmidt, Steinmann, these are all players who've come from the from Hamburg's reserves in Division 4. I mean, yeah, it's all like saying, oh, yeah, great, what a stroke of genius. But they had absolutely nothing left to lose. They had to do something. But, yeah, they do seem to be playing with less fear. Suddenly the confidence is there. You said you were there in the stadium and the noise was back. It seems that the fans have got over their few games of rioting and fighting each other to decide, right, we might as well get behind the lads now. And given their history, yeah, why wouldn't you back them? Like you said, on current form, you've got to say Hamburg will do that and reduce the gap to 2 points. Then what a finish we've got on our hands.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about this finish, because we did a prediction with 10 games to go. And now it's with 3 games to go. This is probably the last time that we'll be able to reasonably do basically a gut prediction on who we think is going to stay up, who's going to be in that relegation spot, and who is going to go down. Matt, what is your gut telling you at this moment before match day 32, 3 games to go?
Got a feeling Hamburg is staying up.
They're
doing it. Part of me even wants to see it.
Yeah, I mean,
as much as they deserve to go down, and they have deserved to go down for years, part of me just thinks it's absolutely, absolutely incredible.
So who gets automatically relegated then?
Well, Cologne are down, and then Wolfsburg.
You think Wolfsburg?
Yeah, I think Wolfsburg will go down.
I think Freiburg are in real, real trouble. I think that they...
One of them. I think Mainz will save themselves, put it that way.
Mainz, I think, I mean, they have, the thing is, it's going to be so close because Mainz obviously has the toughest run-in. But so you really, really don't know. But it honestly, you can
stop asking me then. I can't answer it.
I know that's what a prediction is, my man. It is really tough. I mean, Freiburg has just been so bad that I mean, you could tip Cologne to win next week, and then if you're Gladbach and Augsburg, are you really afraid of Freiburg at the moment? Going to Freiburg
either
at the
way,
moment?
It's set up for an interesting playoff because it's looking likely that it'll be Holstein Kiel.
Right.
The playoff, which will either be a big northern derby, Hamburg against Kiel, or the most northern professional German team against the most southern professional German team in Freiburg. So either way, we've got a couple of interesting weeks.
All right, so you think that Wolfsburg is going to go down. You think who do you think would be? So you think Hamburg going to get into that playoff spot?
Yeah.
Okay. So that means you tip Mainz and Freiburg to do enough.
Yeah, but then again, when you say when you look at how bad Freiburg are doing, it's hard to pick. But go on, I'll go.
I know that Hamburg are making this one last ditch sprint, but I still think it's going to be really, really tough for them. Even though that they have basically at some point they're going to have the fate in their own hands again in when it comes to staying up, but. I still think, I mean, with that Leipzig game, I really think that Hasenhüttl will also be playing somewhat reportedly could be playing for his job. Who knows? I just think that Hamburg is still too far behind in order to, I mean, we'll know next week if they have a legitimate shot or not.
We'll certainly know in a few weeks.
Exactly. We'll know in a few weeks, obviously. But I think next week, if they beat Wolfsburg, then they obviously have a real legitimate chance of getting there. But even if they draw, I think it's going to be difficult for them. So I still think that they're going to be 17th. But I think Freiburg are in real trouble. I really do.
Yeah,
and
well,
I think
the football might be awful, but we love a good relegation battle in the Bundesliga, don't we?
Yeah, it's so
torture every week.
I think Freiburg is in trouble, but if anything, they'll be in the playoff spot, which will be interesting to see if a second division team will finally defeat a Freiburg or a Wolfsburg or a Mainz to get into the first division. But I think Mainz, even though they have a tough go of it, I think that they still have shown enough in recent weeks to make you feel at least a little bit optimistic. And I think that Wolfsburg... They're really bad, but I still think that they have the individual quality in order to get at least a point or two that they need in order to stay up.
So Freiburg going down for you, yeah?
But I think it's, like you said, it's going to be interesting. All right, that'll do it for this week's Tribune Weekly. You can subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, and if you do, please leave us a friendly review. You can also like a Tribune Podcast Facebook page and follow us on Twitter at Tribune Podcast. Matt Ford is at Matt_4D, and I'm at Davis_VanOptorp. Before we go, here is our stat of the week. Michael Gregoritsch scored his 14th goal of the season in Augsburg's 2-0 win over Mainz. That ties him with Andre Hahn for an Augsburg record for a single Bundesliga season. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you next week.